Okay. The Gemara says in the continuation of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Amar Rav Papa, Haisapar Gnuva Lo Tzvach of Shabbos, we already sold before Shabbos, Shechel and Shabbos, Chayav, Shechar is Chayav, Gnei, Bekodu Shevel Livius for Shabbos, you are Chayav, the symbol of Shabbos saying you're Chayav Dalet Vehei.
You can stop us right now.
What?
You can stop us. Nothing's stopping us from there right now. You can stop us. Nothing's stopping us from there right now.
Okay, correct. What does Rashi say?
Nothing technically. Like, only the next thing.
Doesn't say too much. Okay. So, you are chaya because the Gneva was on Friday, and therefore, you are already chaya the Gneva from Friday. Rashi here is not 100% clear. Rashi in Bava Kama says you're even chayv dal vehei, and this is not a matter of lumdus, it's just a matter of who he's talking about. If he's talking more to a mayor, according to Rabbah, then obviously you can chayv dal vehei, because you can be chayv knas, even though you're chayv visa at the time. Okay. That's not the chiddush, as we'll see soon. The chiddush is right here. Haisa par sh'ula lo tvach b'shabbos, if you had borrowed a cow and then you shechted on Shabbos, which obviously you weren't supposed to do, then you are potter. Why? Because you're only chayef for shechting it on Shabbos, and when you shecht on Shabbos, you're potter because of kibbutz gram mine. Amrli Ravacha b'ridu Ravel or Vashi Rav Papa para asalush minun. Why does our Papa have to tell us this? If you remember, we just learned that. Let me just find the place. Hayegdi ganavlo utvacho b'Shabbos. Chayev, Rava says. So Rava said the exact same thing about a gdi. So our Papa has to teach us. It also applies to a para. So the answer is no. Amalei. Colon, Rav Papa Sh'ula Asa Lashminen. No, Rav Papa is not, there's no Chiddush in the first part. The first part is just repeating Rabbah. The Chiddush is in the Sh'ula. Why? Salkadai Tchamina Ho, Rav Papa Mishash Shikud Ushchayb Limzon Seha, Hakanam Mishash Shikud Ushchayb Limzon Seha. Rav Papa said in Bab Mitzia that when you rent a cow, or you borrow a cow, from the time you do Mishicha and start your She'ila or Schiras, you're Chayb to feed the cow. So the chiyuv of mezonos for the cow comes from shas mashicha, meaning from the shas yitziras hashmira, the beginning of the shmira. So you might have thought, the chiyuv onsev really is retroactive to the time when you first did mashicha and started your shmira. So therefore, you might have thought the chiyuv onsev is not the same time as the chol Shabbos, because your chiyuv onsev for 3 days ago, and you're only chiyuv Shabbos now, and you'd be chiyuv. Come mashbalon, teach you not that way. Obviously, what it means is that even though the chiv mezonos on the parah is lemafreya, if I borrowed it on Tuesday for a week, from the minute I did meshicha and I was kona the sheila on Tuesday, I'm chayv a week's worth of cow food. But the chiv onsin is only chal when the ones happens, so I'm not chayv for the death of the animal until it actually dies. Here it dies by my shefting it, so I'm chayiv for the death of the animal at the same time as Chol Shabbos, so I'm potter because I'm kibbutz gram mine. That's the chiddush of Rav Papa, that you didn't know if the chiv onsim was the mafreyer from the beginning of Shmir or at the time it happens. K'mashmalan, the chiv onsim is only chal at the time it happens. Okay, that's something he needs to teach us, because as we'll see, that's controversial. Controversial before his time, controversial after his time. Before we get into what Rav Papa says in our Gemara, what does Rav Papa not say in our Gemara? But did say in Rashi's Rebbein's Gemara. Right? If you look at Rashi. Exactly. Says Rashi. Parshul lo tfach b'shabbos potter, etc., etc. V'logar sin ishim ein gneva ein tvicha v'ein mechira. Digabi shoa lo shaykh lo keif of lor b'avach mincha. Shari chayi b'kar in the olam. Right? We're not going to race. Once you're potter from the Karen and Kefil, you're potter from Dal V'Hei, because there's no Havamina of Kefil and Dal V'Hei on a borrowed cow. Kefil and Dal V'Hei is only an Agneva. There's no Kefil and Dal V'Hei in a Shoel. A Shomer never pays Kefil and Dal V'Hei, except for what's the one case? Toin Tadis Ganav. The only time a Shomer can be Dal V'Hei is for a Ganav can be Dal V'Hei. The only way a Shomer can be Kefil and Dal V'Hei is if he's Toin Tadis Ganav, which normally only applies to Shomer Chinam, because if a Shoel is Toin Tadis Ganav, then he has to pay. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's chayv to pay as a shol. He's chayv in gneiva, and so is a shol sachar, so is a socher. So Rashi says, we never heard, you go through all of Shas, we never heard that a shomer, except for Toitanis Ganef, we never heard that a shomer pays kefal and dal mehe. We heard that a shomer pays keren. In what case would a shomer be a gazlan to pay keren? What are the two ways a shomer can be a gazlan to pay keren? Any kind of shomer. Shlichos yad, right? If he used it for his own purpose, not talking about shol, but or in most circumstances, let's easier case shomer chinam, use it for his own purposes. Shlichos yad is a gazlan has to pay keren. And what other case the gazlan has to pay keren? No, that's not a gazlan. Kofer bepikato. If you deny having received it, the guy says, "Give me back my cow." I said, "What cow? It's my cow." As they say down here, "Shalim me a bite." You say, "It was always my cow." You're coping. I don't have your cow. You never lent me anything. So those things, the Gemara says clearly, are gazlin. Our kofi becomes a gazlin, chayiv keren. Shaleach yad is a gazlin, chayiv keren. We never heard of a shomer being a ganef all over Shas. A shomer can only be a ganef in toin tanis ganef. Here we're not talking about toin tanis ganef. It's a shomer who shecht. We're not talking about anyone tining. So Rash says clearly there's no having of kevel dalei at the wrong girsa. If you look in this sugya, is parallel in Bava Kama, as you might have noticed, except that it's the opposite direction. Here we start with our papa, and then bring in Rava and the two with Lashonos, one of which is like Rav Papa, one of which isn't. There it's the opposite direction. They're coming at it from the angle of Rava and his two Lashonos, and then they bring in that ties into our papa. But Rashi in Bava Kama points out who did have this Girsa. What does Rashi say in Bava Kama? His Rabbeim, right? Rashi points out that, in general, if Rashi says we don't have a certain Girsa, that obviously means a lot of people in Rashi's days did have that Girsa. Right? He doesn't make up yourselves and tell us that we don't have them, that they're wrong. So Rashi in Bava Kama quotes explicitly that his Rebbeim did have that Girsa. He says, She'imein Gnevein Tzvichim Nechira Lo Garslei V'anan Sham'in Ankan V'Ksubos V'chein Perish Lan Rebbeinu. But I heard in Ksubos and Bava Kama, the two parallel sugyas, he says, I did Taka hear this Girsa of in Gneva in Tvichu in Mechira, and my Rebbe is Mefarish in Gneva Akshar Potam, and I care him should become the Rabbi in Tvicha, Knas Nami Lo Mishale, the Avagab the Chidashu, the in Misa Potarto, Hacha the Leke Karen Potash, the Avra Chish, the Lotus, the Dalad Behe. Okay, he says his Rebbe did have this Girsa, says, because you're Potam Karen, you're Potam Kefel. Even according to Rab, according to Rab Meir, that there's no Kim Rebbe on Kefel and Dal Behe, because you can be Chayiv a Knas. But since you don't have Karen, there's nothing to build the Knas off, because you can't be high 3 and 4, only 4 and 5. So Rashi's Rebbeim, if you look at the Gersos, right? Im Ein Gneva, Ein Tvicha, Ve'ein Mechira, I think that's the Gersa. This is Rebosa Shel Rashi. Lo Garsinan, this is Rashi, and most Rishonim. However, which two Rishonim do agree with the Girsa of Rashi's Rebbeim?
Rather Ravid.
Right. The Ravid explicitly, right, is quoted by the Rashba there. It's also in the, right, I think the Rashba was there, Yen Bava Kama, which is on the sheet. It's also in the Ravid there, but that's not on the computer, so I gave you in the Rashba. The Ravid agrees with this. Explicitly. Rabosa Shabashi explicitly has this Girsa. The Ravid explicitly has this Girsa. The Rambam, of course, doesn't tell us in quite so many words, Hachi Garsinan Bigamara, but it's abundantly clear that the Rambam had this Girsa also, because, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam basically says this Girsa, right? When he quotes our Gemara. In Hilchas Neva, Herek Gimel Halacha Dalad Ha'isa Parshu Ulets Lo Vatalkum Shabbos Derek Gneva Potter Achmin Akeifel Sher Isra Shabbos Is Gneva Bunke Echavim In Gneva Ain Tzvicha Vein Mechira. Right there, straight out. Obviously, he had this Girsa in the Gemara. So it's the Rebosa of Shal Rashi, Ravid, and the Rambam against Rashi and all the later Rishonim who agree with Rashi's Girsa. What is the Machlokas here? So the Machlokas here is very Pashut, meaning the Rishonim don't put it this way, but I think I summarize it accurately in the question here. What if it had been a weekday and not Shabbos? Right? So what's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is that what does Rashi say? Even if there's no Kim Leib Ravine, forget about Kim Leib Ravine. A shoel is never chayav kefel v'dalet v'hei. Because to be a ganef, you have to go steal something in the bailiff. A shomer who misuses his shmira, who abuses his shmira, might be a goslin, but is not a ganef. There's no chidal v'hei and kefel, except for 20 times ganef, which is obviously not the case here. What is the Gosu Rashi Raivin and the Rambam hold? What they say is that if not for Kimle Ramine, a shoel could be Chayev Kefel V'dalav V'hei. That's clearly the Machlokas. Like, if not for Kimle Ramine, this versa says you'd be Chayev Kefel V'dalav V'hei. So we have to explain why you're not Chayev Kefel V'dalav V'hei because of Kimle Ramine. And even though Reb Meir says, according to Rabbah, that Kimlin Rami doesn't exempt you from Kefal Dal Behei, but once you're exempt from Karen, you're automatically exempt from Kefal Dal Behei. While Rashiger says, no, there's no Chavmin of Kefal Dal Behei. Because a Shomer is not Chavmin of Kefal Dal Behei unless they're Torn Tanis Ganef. So this is the Yisod of the Machlokas. The one thing which we just have to figure out is, how can a Shoel be, or let's say a little better, how can a shoel be chayv kefel dal v'hei? Not if he's kofer b'kadom, not if he's sholeh yad. How can a shoel be chayv kefel dal v'hei? So here we have two basic drachim, one in the Rambam, one in the Ravid, who for sure cannot agree with each other. What are the two basic drachim to explain this girsa? What does the Ravid say? The Ravid, we don't do any guesswork, right? He tells us just straight out. What does the Ravid say? What does the Ravid say? What does the Ravid say? The Ravid says, really, you don't have to change the rules. The Rashi was right. There is no case, or Rashi was almost right. I'm going to leave out one word of Rashi to make the Ravid agree. There is no case of Kevel al-Hay except for a Ganef or a Shomer who is Tony Tynus Ganef. Rashi, what word did Rashi put in that I just skipped? Rashi put in Shomer Chinam. Only Shomer Chinam can do. Wait, let's remind ourselves. This is, if you don't believe me, it's the last Mishnah, or the last Perek full of Mishnais and Shavuos. If a Shomer Socher, or a Socher, or a Shoel, is falsely Toin Tanis Ganef, guy says, where's my Gavin? I say, I lie, and I say, it was stolen, and here's the money I'm paying you, because I'm Chayv paid for theft. He's not Chayv Kevel Dal V'hei. He didn't steal anything. He paid him the full value. Right? You're only Chayv Kevel Dal V'hei for Toin Tanis. You're only the halachic category of Tonis Tanis Ganef if you potter yourself with Tonis Tanis Ganef, if you get away with it by Tonis Tanis Ganef, if you steal the guy's money with Tonis Tanis Ganef, which is only Shomer Chinam. A Shoel is Chayiv and Gneiva. What do you mean? If he's Tonis Tanis Ganef, then he just pays for the Gneiva. He's not Chayiv Kefel Dal V'hei. He didn't steal anything. So, what's Pshat? Says the Ravid. The Ravid says that the case is Tonis Tanis Ganef. Rashi is correct. The only way you can have Kefel Dal V'hei in a Havamina is Toin Tanis Ganef. Shoel can't be Toin Tanis Ganef. So what does he add?
He also lied and claimed he was a Shomer.
He lied and claimed he was a Shomer Chinam, and then this Toin Tanis Ganef. He said two lies. He said, hey, you think I'm a Shoel? I'm not a Shoel, I'm a Shomer Chinam. What, you, the chutzpah, to accuse me of borrowing your cow? You think I need to borrow cows? I have lots of cows. I was doing you a favor and watching it. How could you be such a bad person that I do you a favor and then you start accusing me of being a Shoel? And where did it go? I was watching it. I tried my best to watch it. I did a halfway decent job. Shomer Chinam only has to do a decent job. And it got stolen. What can I do? And he got away with it because there was no proof otherwise. So the case is Toin Tanis Ganef, and he claims Shomer Chinam. Now here, this Ravid is making two assumptions. The Ravid is making two assumptions. What are the... I think he's making... Pretty sure he's making two assumptions. What are the two assumptions he's making? Number one... So... Hanachot. He has to assume two controversial positions. Number one is that... Who says this is called Toin Tanis Ganef? Is it called Toin Tanis Ganef if really the Tanis Ganef doesn't potter you? You just make another lie to pretend Tanis Ganef potters you? Meaning, if the Toin Tanis Ganef doesn't really work, You just make another lie to make it work. Are you atoning tadas ganef or not? That's controversial.
Well,
that's controversial. You might say this isn't good. Atoning tadas ganef is only someone who really would be able to say ganef if it was true. Someone who really is patur al atoning tadas ganef. Someone who says one lie, atoning tadas ganef. Someone says two lies, A, they say atoning tadas ganef. And that doesn't really patur them. They have to say another lie, shomer chinam, I need to patur them. Who says that's the same halachic category? Who says the halachic category, atoning tadas ganef, applies when you have to say a second lie to make it work? So that's his first hanacha. His first hanacha is that toin time is gone, test is gimel is chayav, afilo im eino nifter be'emes ayidei tainas geneva umeshaker ve'omer shomrechinam ani. Okay, it's not obvious. Rashi says only shomrechinam is chayav toin time is gone. Rashi makes it sound like only Shomachino is chayav toin tadas ganef. Why? He wasn't clever enough to think of the case of Shomel who lied. Sure, he was clever enough. He didn't think that's called toin tadas ganef, right? Against the mashmos of Rashi kan, right? Why is Rashi only Shomachino? Only someone who it all depends on the tadas ganef, and it's all up to tadas ganef, and he says tadas ganef, and that's what makes the difference. That's the halach category of toin tadas ganef. Someone who really his ikar lie is something else. The tainus ganef is not the main point. His ikar lie is that he's a shomer chinam, not a shoel. And then he also lies tainus ganef. That's not called toin tainus ganef. Okay, that's one assumption. The other assumption is this. The other assumption is this. Let's think about the timeline. What did he do first? Was he toin tainus ganef first, or did he shech first? How do you know that? What if he had been toin tadas ganef first? Why can't the case be that if he was first toin tadas ganef and then shechted? Why can't that be the case? That he toin tadas ganef and then shechted? Because if he was toin tadas ganef first, what would happen? The moment he was toin tadas ganef, he'd be chayav, keren, and kefel. How are you toin tadas ganef? What do you do to be toin tadas ganef? You speak words. Is it chol Shabbos to speak words? No. So he'd be chayav keren and kefel without kim l'ram minei. Right? So what do you mean it ain't gneva? Yesh gneva. I mean if he was toin tadas ganef first, there's no kim l'ram minei. He's chayav keren and kefel speaking words. That's not chol Shabbos. So obviously it can't be, right? Meaning it can't be toin tadas ganef before tvicha. Because then there's no kimle gramine. What do you mean? He's chayav keren and kefel. What do you mean ain gneva? Yesh gneva. He was chayav keren and kefel by speaking words, and speaking words is not chayav misa. Speaking words is not chilul Shabbos. Again, I'm not saying midrabanan. It's mutter to be toin tadas ganef about Shabbos. It might be talking about business. It might be judging in Beis Din. But it midoraisa. There's no chayav misa for talking about what happened to a bekoven on Shabbos. So obviously the case must be he shechted first and was toin tadas ganef second, right? That must be the case. So what the case must be? The case must be that he shechted first and was toin tadas ganef second. Ah, what is the right of the assumption then? The right of the assumption then is that tavach v'acharka ton tadas ganef chayav dalet v'hei Lima Freya, right? That, if you're a Tavach and then Toin Tadas Ganef, we don't say Tvicha is Shlichos Yad, and you're only Chayav Keren. No, we say Igloi Nos Lima Freya, that once you're a Ganef, the Tvicha was the Tvicha of a Ganef. Meaning, you can add the Tvicha into the Toin Tadas Ganef Lima Freya. That is that the Rabbi Lashitase or Anti Lashitase? That's the Ravid L'shitase. Meaning it works fine. Says the Ravid in Dalet Beis of Hilchos Geneva. Listen, please. Bamedvar Mamurin says the Rambam. In Sholach Bo Yod V'Toin Tadas Ganef, Potter. If you first shechted it, Shlichos Yad, and then you Toin Tadas Ganef, you're Potter. Because what do you mean? What Toin Tadas Ganef? You already shechted it first. Says the Ravid, however. No, Hamil said Lo Kehilchosahi. Etc., etc., etc. Alma afa gav the nasal gazlan knaachai ba'onsin came in shupater nafshi v'im torn tanis gav v'im shalom keifel v'im tovach u'machar kodem shvuah ba'o'edim ala kol m'shalom dal v'hei. If you were tovach u'machar before you swore that it was stolen, and then it became, you paid dal v'hei, this is the right with l'shitase, that even though you stole it first through tvicha before the torn tanis ganef, it goes back l'mafreya and says the ikar of the torn tanis ganef. So this is the Ravid Lishitase in Hilchas Gneva Dalet Beis against the Rambam there. Let's review the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid without getting into the whole sugya of Yotzi de Bailim versus Kno. The Rambam says if you shecht first then Toin Tanis Ganef, once you shecht, you're already a Gazel. You're already Chayav Keren. Now it's too late to be a Ganef. It's too late to be Toin Tanis Ganef. If you shecht first, you can't be chayv kefil anymore. You're going to minagav. We're going to minagav. The Ravid says no. If you shecht first, you can still be torn tanis ganav. And even though you stole it already through shechita, you can still steal it through torn tanis ganav. And then it goes back to mafreya and builds the shechita into the torn tanis ganav, makes you chayv dal behei. So the Ravid hears l'shitase, and the Rambam disagrees. They argue explicitly. Shechting and then torn tanis ganav, meforce machlokes Rambam Ravid, meforce the Ravid works well l'shitase. We like when it works out that way. It should. We'd hope the Ravid would be the Shasin he is. Mefurish, the Rambam, disagrees. So the Ravid is based on his unique Shita. His Shita that you can shecht. We never heard of this. Whoever heard of shechting first and stealing it second and being chayiv dal behei? Right? That never happens. If I walk into your house and I shecht your animal and then I steal it, I'm not chayiv dal behei l'mafreya. No. But what happens if I walk into your house, I shecht your animal and then I steal it? Mastama, I'm chayav al tzmazik for shechting, I have to pay you the price differential between a live animal and a dead animal. And then when I steal the dead animal, I'm chayav kefal for stealing a piece of meat. We never heard. But the rabbi says, no, toin tanis ganef is special. When you're toin tanis ganef, that automatically makes everything gneva, because it's a special chiddush of toin tanis ganef. And even if you already stole it beforehand, it doesn't matter. The chiddush of toin tanis ganef is that it makes it gneva and even goes back to mafreya. And makes the shechita chayv dal behei. The Ravid l'shitase. The Rambam obviously has to disagree, because the Rambam in Perek Gneva Halacha Dal Perek Dal Halacha Helchus Gneva Perek Dal Halacha Beis says in this case you wouldn't be chayv kevul dal behei. So the Rambam obviously disagrees. So he still has to figure out the Rambam. So two.
Two is the Rambam. See above left.
So what's the Rambam going to do? The Rambam has the same gear so the Ravid, right? The Rambam assumes if not for kumli grabine, the shol v'chayv kefal dal v'hei. A house. The Ravid says toin tanis ganef, but he has to make some assumptions. How about the Rambam? I mean, there's actually more, but these are the main assumptions. What the Rambam can't say like the Ravid. He's mefurish that if you shecht the first and toin tanis ganef second, there's no kefal and dal dehei. And obviously, if you were toin tanis ganef first and shechted it second, there would be no kim let rabine. So what is the Rambam going to say pshat in the Gemara is? So they point out that it actually works out. The Ravid is l'shitase. The Rambam's also l'shitase. How is the Rambam l'shitase? What lashon does the Rambam use? I'll read again how he quotes our Gemara. What does he say? Haisa parashu uletz lo tzvacha b'shabes derech kineva pater av, etc. What were the important words there? Derech kineva. He thinks there's such thing as shechita derech gneva. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says not toin tanis ganef. The Rambam says it's not a case of toin tanis ganef. We already explained how he can't say that. The Rambam is a chiddush. The Rambam has a shechitas yochid that there is such thing as a shomer becoming a ganef. All the other Rishonim say, no, a Shomer can't become a Ganef except for the Chiddush of Toin Tanis Ganef. The Rambam says, not true, a Shomer can become a Ganef. Oh, we know Kofar, Vipikadon, and Shaleach Yad are not a Ganef. They're a Goslin. He says, it depends how you do it. If you do it low Derech Neva, then you don't become a Ganef. But if you do it Derech Neva, you do become a Ganef. And that's the Rambam added the words. Right? What words did he add in? If you shecht derech geneva, meaning there's a derech geneva way for a shomer to steal his object. A non-derech geneva way, you don't become a ganef, you become a goslin. But a derech geneva way, you become a ganef. And this is the Rambam l'shitase. Where is it, the Rambam l'shitase, David?
No,
I can't go over it because I haven't said it yet.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Let's check it.
The Rambam, before we explain what he means, let's just make sure that he's l'shitase. The Rambam says in Perek Neva, Hilchos Neva, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, he says, Shomer, he says explicitly, I mean, it's not only here, Shomer shagonav mirshuso, kigon shagonav tlame edish hufkanet slow. Like, for example, you steal one lamb from a flock that was entrusted to you, v'sel v'kishu v'kishu v'kishu, you steal one coin from a wallet that was entrusted for you, with you, m'yeshul v'edim chayev kefel, you're chayev kefel. The Rambam says explicitly, shomer shagonav mirshuso is chayev kefel. Obviously, he doesn't mean if you just steal it in other ways, only if you do it derech neva, shagonav mirshuso. Right, so the Rambam is l'shitase, just like the Rav is l'shitase, the Rambam's l'shitase in Gneva Dalet Yud, that Shomer Shagunav Mirshuso Chayev Kefel. And who argues on the Rambam there?
Right.
Says the Ravid, very succinctly, Amar Ram Ze Eino Klum Akan L'shono. Right, this is against the Ravid Shon. Basically, the Rambam and Ravid both work out beautifully. They both have this gear so that you have to come up with a Hesber with. The Rambam has his Hesber l'shitase and disagrees with the Ravid's Hesber. The Ravid has his Hesber l'shitase and disagrees with the Rambam's Hesber. Each one of them had to say their Hesber because they disagreed with the other Hesber. So they both work out beautifully l'shitase. Okay, now what we just... Yes?
I mean, I'm going to ask, how did the Rambam's new King Gazela overcome the fact that he still goes over to Shelo?
Okay, good. Hold that thought. Now, as a matter of fact, the Achronim even write, how did the Rambam know this Shitas Yachid, that there's such thing as a Shomer who becomes a Ganef and a Shomer can be Gonev? So the Achronim write, from our Sugya. Because he had this Girsa in our Sugya, so he knew a Shomer could become a Ganef in Chayim Kabel Dalmehei, and he didn't like the Ravid's Shaks, he argued on the Ravid's assumptions. So he therefore, by cross elimination, had to come up with his shot. Now what we just have to figure out is, just one thing we have to figure out, and then we're done, is what is Derech Neva and what is not Derech Neva, right? Meaning the Rambam clearly tells us, there's a Derech Neva way and a non-Derech Neva way for a Shomer to abuse his Shmira. If you do it a non-Derech Neva way, then you're not a Ganef. You're a Gazlan. If you do it a Derech Neva way, then you're a Ganef. So what is Derech Neva, right? Now we just have to figure out, but what is Derech Neva as opposed to, to a, exactly. Not Derech Neva. Good. What is Derech Neva? What makes a Shomer a Ganef as opposed to just a Goslin, practically? So what does the Rambam mean? What practically draws the line? So, you might want to look at, well, he talks about this in two places, in Ar Sugya, which is Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. He says, Tavat Derech Neva, and in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, he says, Shomer Shaganef Mirshuson gives two examples. So you might think, well, why don't we look at those two examples? What were two examples of a Shomer who's Derech Gneva? You take an Eder, you take a lamb from the flock or a coin from the wallet. Why did Dafka mention those two examples? L'chora, he needs to tell us something, those two examples. Why didn't he just say, you took something? Why does it have to be a lamb and a flock? I mean, there's an obvious pattern here. A lamb and a flock and a coin and a wallet. Obviously, this is trying to tell us something. So what's the chiddush? What's the point? What's unique about those cases that he calls that geneva, as opposed to a regular case where he seemingly wouldn't call it geneva? Like, why didn't you just say, the shomer takes the object? You give me a computer to watch, I take the computer. No, he used a funny example, right? Why did he use Dafka that example? Anyone? Why did he use Dafka that example?
He's still going to try to return the flock and pass it off as if the whole flock is there.
Aha, so that's the Or Sameach. So the Or Sameach says, right? And why Davka a lamb from the flock etc. So one answer is the Or Sameach. Says the Or Sameach, you know what the difference is? There are two ways for a shomer to steal. One way for a shomer to steal is, he steals, well, here's the question. Why is it not so pashut for a shomer to steal? Let's say I'm a shomer, right? David gives me his watch to guard. He gives me his watch to guard. So why is it not so easy for me to steal it? Let's say I steal it. I go, I sell it on the street, I give it to my friend, etc. The problem is, he's going to come to me and say, where's my watch? Right? So normally, if a shomer steals, what's the baya? If a shomer steals, then is it really a classic neima? Well, no, because he still owes the money. David's going to come and say, where's the watch? Then what's the shomer going to do? He's going to say, you never gave me a watch. He's going to say, it was stolen. It was lost. 20 times ava, 20 times gana, kuk, bikadom. Meaning, normally when a shomer steals, it's not a gneva. Gneva means that you have now taken it and are not on the hook for the money anymore. When a shomer steals, he hasn't accomplished anything yet. I stole the watch. I sell it on the street. I give it away as a birthday present. But I haven't done anything yet because he's still going to ask me where the watch is. And then I'm going to have to make up a story. It's my making up a story that really does the gneva, not my taking. So a normal shomer, when he takes something, he hasn't really finished his gneva yet. He hasn't done a proper gneva because he's still going to be asked where the item is. And then he's going to have to make up a story. So his ikar theft is making up the story, not taking the object. But what's unique about this case? What if I take a lamb from the flock? What's going to happen when the time's up? I'm going to return the flock, and what's David going to say to me?
Right.
Thanks for the flock. Right? He doesn't know how many lambs are in the flock. What happens if he gives me a wallet, and I take one coin? If I took all the coins, then it wouldn't be Neva. What do you mean? How am I going to explain it? If I take one coin, he's not going to notice one coin in the wallet. I mean, that's an Okimta, right? But maybe that's what it means. The Rambam means it's only Neva if you can get away with it. What's the point of Neva? Neva means I sneak and get away with taking something. Here, I haven't gotten away with taking anything. I haven't done a full Maisa Gneva in a normal Pikadon until I then lie and invest it. Only in the case where you give me a lot of things and I take one and you don't notice, then I've already gotten away with this. That's the Or Sameach says. The Or Sameach says, if I need to lie later, that's not Gneva. Why? Because I haven't done anything yet. I haven't gotten away with it yet. I haven't tricked you yet. Gneva is about tricking you, right? I go when you're not looking to take it. I haven't tricked you yet. I just set myself up to trick you. But if the mafkid will never notice that it's missing, that's Derech Gneva. It's only Gneva if I fool you, or if I trick you and get away with taking your thing. I don't mean you can't hunt me down, but I mean right now I've taken it. In a regular case, the shomer hasn't taken it yet. The guy's still going to ask him where it is, and he's still going to have to make up a lie. His ikar stealing is going to be later when he lies. Only in the case where we won't notice it's missing, and that's why the Rambam uses the examples of Selim and Akis and Tlem and Ha'eder, because the owner will never notice it's missing because he didn't count how big his Eder is and how big his Kis is.
So then, when is there ever, if nobody ever notices and gets away with it, where's the Kabel and the Dal
Vahe? The Kabel Dal Vahe is if Edom come, meaning he gives me a money bag. I return it with one coin less. I'm smart. If I take out half the coins, I'm going to get trouble, sich, soch, whatever. I'm a clever guy. I say, I'll take out one coin, I'll never notice. And, sorry, he doesn't notice, but Aiden come and say, we saw Bednar steal a coin. Then I'm Chayiv Kefel. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Dal Vahe, but if it would have been a Tle, I could even be Chayiv Dal Vahe. So, says the Or Sameach, that's the case in our Gemara, when could you be Chayiv Kefel and Dal Vahe, when it was a large flock, and the owner would never have noticed it was missing, that's what he's like, Derech Gneva, and that's Derech Gneva. Derech Gneva means that I have already tricked you out of it. Not Derech Gneva means I have to trick you out of it later.
It's very difficult to say you're disconnecting the actual mice of taking it from the tiny. In other words, I was looking at it more as a large process, and there's the beginning and the end. He was to say that he never did anything when he really took it.
And not that he never did anything, he just didn't do a full Gneva.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a full
he didn't do a full Gneva, correct.
That's the Ursa Math. That's one derech.
The,
however, sorry. Well, okay, this is a, I guess I should mention the Magen Mishnah, which I don't, I'm not so partial to, but we'll mention the Magen Mishnah, fine, we'll give you some FAs, we'll mention Aleph. Aleph says the Magen Mishnah, says that he's talking about towing Tainus Ganef. I must admit, there's not shot in the Rambam. When the Rambam says Shomer Shagunav Mirshuso, he means Toin Tanya's Ganav. And really, the Rambam is the same as the Ravid. The Rambam is no Chiddush. That is not shot in the Rambam. It's not me saying it's not shot in the Rambam. The Kesem Mishnah says it's not shot in the Rambam, and all the Achronim say it's not shot in the Rambam. The Magen Mishnah tries to basically make the Rambam not say anything new. Turn him into the Ravid. It's not shot in the Rambam. Read the Rambam. Ganav Shagunav Mirshuso, like you took an Eder from the Tla and a Kiss from the Selah from the Kiss, your Chayiv Kefel. You can't read in Toin Tanis Ganef. I think that's going a little far. I am sorry to say. So let's take the Arsamech has a Hesber. There's two different ways you could steal. You could steal and get away with it immediately. That's Gneva. You finished your Gneva. Or you could steal and you still have to get away with it later. You've started a Gneva, but you haven't done a Gneva yet. And therefore, you're not a Ganef. The other way is the Nesivus and probably most Mefarshim. I think on the daf I might have put the Nesivus. yeah, I did. Says the Nesivus, he says very pashut. He says, it's very simple. What's the difference in Derech Gneva, not Derech Neva? He says very pashut. Everyone knows what Gneva means. What does it mean to do Gneva? How do you do Gneva? For example, let me give you an example. Forget about a Shomer, a regular person. Right now I say, hey, that's my watch. Maybe I can even convince you all it's my watch. Right? Am I a Ganef? Am I a Ganef? I say that's my watch, it's my watch. I convince you all it's my watch. Have I done Gneva yet?
You have to still take it.
Why haven't I didn't do a Maisa Kenyan on it, right? You can't do a Gneva without a Maisa Kenyan. I have to do Hagba or Mashiach or whatever. Right? If I pick up the watch, now already, I took it from your rishus to my rishus. Now already, that's Gneva. So says the Nesivos. Says, what's the difference? Kofer v'bikadon. If I just deny the bikadon without doing a maisa, that's not derech Gneva. Not only that, what if, here's an interesting question. You could see this more than one way. What if you give me this watch to guard, and I decide to steal it, I pick it up, I put it on the edge of the desk. Have I done a Maisa Gneva? Says the Nesivus. No, why not? Because I'm your Shomer. I didn't take it out of your Rishus into my Rishus. My Rishus is your Rishus. Right? Meaning it's a little tricky for a Shomer to show me to Mashiach, Hagbah. He is a Shomer of the Bailim. It's supposed to be in his hand. That's not Gneva. Says the Nesivus very cleverly, what's the only way for a Shomer to do a Maisa Gneva? Certainly not by just lying. He has to do a physical action and pick it up. But not by picking it up, because the Shomer's supposed to pick it up. He's the Shliach of the Bailim to pick it up. He's the Yad of the Bailim. How can a Shomer do Gneva, he says? Ah, a Shomer can only do Gneva if he takes it out of the Bailim's Rishus into his Rishus. Ah, but isn't it always supposed to be in his Rishus? No. A Shomer can only be a Ganef if it's supposed to be in one part of his house and he steals it and brings it to the other part of his house. How do you have that? Well, you could have that. Let's say someone says, guard this. I'm leaving in your safe. Guard in your safe. If I take it out of the safe, I can be a Ganef. Or, what if someone gives me an Eder? I take a Tle out of the Eder. Once I take the Tle out of the Eder is the Bailim's Rishus. If I take a Tle out of the Eder, I'm removing it from the Bailim's Rishus to my Rishus because I'm supposed to leave it with the Eder. If I take a Sela out of the Kiss, the Bailim gave it to me to leave the Sela in the Kiss. Once I take it out of the Kiss, I'm now stealing. Says the Nesivus B'diyuk, the Nesivus says that if I don't touch it,
or I move it to someplace it's supposed to be, that's not Derech Neiva. That's not Derech Neiva. I'm a Shomer. What's Gneiva? Maybe I'm a Shalech Yad, maybe I'm not, but I'm not a Ganef. Right? It's what's Ganef? Gneiva is, but if I if I move it out of where the mafkid wants it to be, that's a Maisa Gneiva. So says the Nesivos. What makes it a Maisa Gneiva? If I move it outside of the place it's supposed to be. Do most Pikadons have a place they're supposed to be? No, most Pikadons could be anywhere. What kind of Pikadon has a place it's supposed to be? Tlet in the Eder and a cell in the Kiss. That's his deep of the Rambam. The Tlet's supposed to be with the Eder. I'm not supposed to take it out of his Eder and put it in my Eder. The cell is supposed to be in the Kiss. I'm not supposed to take it out of the Kiss and put it in my pocket. That's the why the Rambam would indict this case. To have a Maisa Gneiva, I need to take it out of where the Bailam wants it to be and put it where the Bailam doesn't want it to be. And the best way, example of that is, if it's part of a conglomerate, then when I remove it from its context, I'm now removing it from where the Bailam wants it to be. And that's a Maisa Gneiva. If he just gives me his computer and I move it from shelf A to shelf B, from table A to table B, even if my intention is to steal it, I haven't done a Maisa Gneiva. I'm supposed to move it from place to place and table to table. That's how you take care of computers. But if I take something out of the Kiss, or I take something out of the Eder, that's not what the Bible allows me to do, then I can really be Gonev.
But if you just go back to our Gemara, the simple case, you don't even have to go that far. Tovah Bukhar is already Gneiva. Is Gneiva on the spot of the Kiss?
Okay, good. That is what the Chazon Ish says. Here it becomes actually a little tricky, because...
What was his question?
He says, you know, basically what the Nesima says is what happened in our case. In our case, this was a tlet in the Eder, or a part in the Eder, right? And it came out of the Eder, and you shechted it, intending to steal it, and therefore you became your chatzar outside of the Eder. The Chazon Ish says a little differently. The Chazon Ish says, at least in our case, it's not clear. I never found anywhere where the Chazon Ish discussed the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud. I tried to look. I did a Bar Ilan search. I couldn't find where he discussed that Rambam. But says the Chazon Ish, he makes it sound like if I don't do a Maisa, that's not Derech Gneiva. Once I do a Maisa, I know that's not exactly what Morty said, I realize now. That's Derech Gneiva. Then that doesn't seem to be so meduyuk in the Rambam's example. It doesn't seem to be so meduyuk in the Rambam's example. This is not meduyuk in the Rambam Dalet Yud, but it explains our Rambam, because he doesn't say what's special about the Tlem and Ha'eder and the Sel and the Kiss, but he says our case is Pashut. Our case is Pashut, that even you did a Maisa Tzvicha, that's Gneiva. If you don't do a Maisa, that's Gzela. Kofar becomes Goslings, you can do a Maisa. Once you do a Maisa, that's Gneiva. I think what Morty meant to say is that I think what he, which is neither the Chazon Ish nor the Nesivos, you could sort of fit the Chazon Ish into the Nesivos. And I think you're probably right. Maybe you could say from the Nesivos that even though normally it's only Gneiva if you take it out of the place the Bailam wants to be into another place, really, any Maisa you do against the will of the Bailam that you didn't have permission to do from the Bailam is Gneiva. And therefore, shechting it, even according to the Nesivos, you could say is Gneiva. That's not what the Nesivos himself says, but I agree that I think the Nesivos himself doesn't say that, because shechting is not a kinyan. To be a ganef, you need to do a Maisa kinyan. What?
Why isn't the Nesivos,
or at least something similar to that?
Why isn't the Nesivos just so there? Yeah. What's the difference?
Okay, that's an excellent question. What's the difference between Gneiva and Shlichus Yad, you might ask? Meaning, according to the Orsa Meach, plus what the difference is. Shlichus Yad means I'm not going to get away with it until I lie later. Gneiva means I get away with it right away. According to the Nesivos, I think you can also explain the difference. Shlichus Yad means I
move it from place to place where the Bailam wants it to be. I just have the wrong kavana. Shlichus Yad means I want to use it for myself, but I don't take it out of the right place to the wrong place. Gneiva means I take it out of the right place to the wrong place. That's the difference. Shlichus Yad is I'm moving the computer from the cabinet to the chest of drawers. But my kavana is to use the computer or to keep the computer. That's Shlichus Yad. But if I move the computer to a place that's not allowed to be at all, let's say he said, here, watch this suitcase full of computers and don't open the suitcase, and I take it out of the suitcase, then that's Gneiva. For the Chazon Ish, I think you have to say, which he does say, is really, according to Chazon Ish, any Maisa is Gneiva. So why isn't every Shlichus Yad Gneiva? According to his Hillel, Shlichus Yad means Maisa. So I think the Chazon Ish actually does say someplace there. He says, you're right, really every Shlichus Yad is Gneiva. Also, watch Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad is only when I intend to steal part of something, I'm a Shaleach Yad on the rest. But what I really intended to steal, I'm a Ganef. So according to the Chazon Ish, the whole Chiddush of Shlichus Yad is only for the part I didn't intend to steal. That's a big Chiddush of the Chazon Ish. Lemaisa, let's just chazer for a second. We have four pshatim in the Rambam. What the Rambam means, that sometimes a Shomer can be a Ganef. The Magen Mishnah says he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it, he's just been toying time as Ganef. He had a funny way of expressing it. That is... I don't think Pashup shot in the Rambam. And it doesn't work in our sugya as we explained. But he tries to turn the Rambam into the Raivin. The Kesef Mishnah already says, no. It has something to do with... The Kesef Mishnah basically goes with the Or Sameach, or the Nesivas, I think. What does the Kesef Mishnah say? The Kesef Mishnah says... let me just find it, I apologize. Here it is. V'liner Shadas Rabbeinu... You took some of a big pile. You took some of a conglomerate. He clearly thinks there's something special taking some of a conglomerate. What's special? Either like the Ursameach. When you've done a full Gneiva, you're a Ganeth. If you still have to explain yourself later, then you're not a Ganeth. Or like the Nesivas. When you take it out of Rishus Bailim, you're a Ganeth. But a normal Shomer doesn't take it out of Rishus Bailim. His whole house is Rishus Bailim. It's supposed the Bailam wants it to be in his house. Only when you take it out of its conglomerate, then you're taking it out of Rishus Bailam. The Chazon Ish, I think, is not Meduyik. I'm not sure what he says here. He seems to say any Maisa makes you a Ganef, which again, is Dachan is no less than every Shalach Yad should be a Ganef. And then you have to be Nidcha. No, okay.
It's got to be changes Bechefer. That's the point of the Chazon Ish.
I don't think the Chazon Ish says that.
I'm reading here that it's Maisa Bechefer. They summarize it. Maisa Bechefer.
One second. One second.
It won't be if, unless there's a change in it.
But Sarch Lomar. One second. Maybe you're right. Hold on. The Das Rambam Zedavka Velosa Maisa Gufa Pikadav Alkshen Nigash Laziko Litzorko Gam Shomer Nasaganav Vehilka Vas Achzem Atficha Nasaganav Zed Nilma Misugim Figursas Ha Rambam. I think you're right, Taka. I think you're right. Okay, erase what we said in the name of the Chazon Ish. And then you don't have your question. I think you're right. The Chazon Ish, I didn't notice it. Maisa gufa chifetz, right? L'chora. Now, I'm not sure. What does it mean, gufa chifetz? Like, does Hagbah count as gufa chifetz?
No.
But it could be.
So.
He's
only concerned with the Gimel Dalet.
Yeah, correct. That is a good. All right, it could be maybe you could say like the Chazon Ish like this. I'm not sure, but maybe you could say like Chazon Ish like this. That's a very good Ha'ara. Maybe the Chazon Ish could even work with the Kesef Mishnah. Ulai Kavanas HaChazon Ish. Maybe he's really more like the Nesivas. But just the different knich. Maybe what the Chazon Ish means is, you know what's different about taking a kiss out of the cella? When you take a kiss out of the cella, sorry, you take a cella out of the kiss,
you're taking the
you've
kiss
now changed the kiss. I know you haven't broken it, but it has less money than it used to. You've changed the tzur of the kiss. When you take a tle out of the eder, you've changed the eder. Maybe that's called a maisa gufa chefetz. Meaning, if I just move something from place to place, that's not significant. If it's already in my rishus. But maybe when I take part out of a conglomerate, that's already a maisa gneiva. I'm changing gufa chifetz. I know I'm not really changing the money in the wallet.
You're changing its value. That's what he's talking about.
Or, yeah, meaning it's now an emptier wallet. It's now a leaner herd.
But the chifetz is the gedi, which it took. It's not the chifetz, it's not the conglomerate.
David, what are you timing?
Oh, I was going to add a different question.
Okay. Let's, so one second. Let us say, Tzurich Ian Ktas Bidas Hachazen Ish. In our case, he defines Derech Neva as Maisa the Gufa Chefetz. In our case, he defines Derech Neva as Maisa the Gufa Chefetz, right? That's clear. What does he do in Dalad Yud? How does that fit with Dalad Yud, which he doesn't say? Right, let's read it again. And he explains why. What does he explain why? He says that, I'm sorry. He says that a Ganav is only, here he uses Lashon that's a little less lumbish than we usually expect him to, only may do it with a lot of chatzifas. If you take something from someone's rishos, that's chatzifas. If you just keep it in your own rishos, that's not enough chatzifas to be called gneva. Might be gzela, but it's not called gneva. He says, but if you shecht it, that's a maisa gufa chefetz. So, how does this fit Dalad Yud? Maybe, what was I going to say? Taking out of the kiss and the eder is a maisa beguf hakiss eder. Maybe that's what he means. Or maybe he really means even picking it up, but you're right, that's not what it sounds like. Okay, sorry, Ian, how the Chazanish would fit here. Lemaisa, we have four pshatim then. Either the Magen Mishnah puts the Rambam back in the Ravitz camp, which we're not so attracted to, or no. There's such thing as Shomer being gonave if he gets away with it. But usually, he doesn't get away with it. But in this is the case where he can get away with it. I mean, you can imagine other cases where he gets away with it. What if it's a case where he already knows the guy forgot that he was mafkid as part of him? Maybe the guy or Samech would say that's also gneva. You know, you just, let's say you could prove that Edom already heard the guy saying he forgot who he gave his part to. You know, or the Nesiva says, when you move it from place to place and it has a fixed place, that's what makes the difference. And an Eder has a fixed place, and a Kiss has a fixed place, and our case also where there's a fixed place. Or the Chazan Ish, he says, no, a Maisa B'Gufa Chifetz is worse. A Maisa B'Gufa Chifetz, and if we take it this way, Shalech Yad is not a Maisa B'Gufa Chifetz. You're just picking it up in order to drink it. You're not drinking it yet. How that fits with Dalad Yud, maybe you could say taking a Sela out of a Kiss is a Maisa B'Gufa Chifetz. You're minimizing the Kiss. That's not the right word. You are, you are decreasing the size of the kiss. You are basically breaking off part of the kiss. I know you're not breaking, maybe that's a Maisa B'Gufa Chefetz. Okay. This is the first, part of the Sugya. Big machlokes and big chiddush of the Rambam, that there's such thing as a shomer to be gonev mirshuso, even though again, a shomer is not stealing from his rishus, he's just not giving it back. The chiddush of the Rambam is that nonetheless, we can see a shomer as being gonev mirshuso. In certain circumstances.
Either way, though, but how does it work? Let's say it was the Shulech Boyad.
Mm-hmm.
And like the case of the Rambam Dalad Beis. So why is he punched it from? So I understand why he punched it from 20 times down, but why isn't he stealing it? And then I shocked the Boyad.
Because according to your Sameach, it's a case where he still needed to explain himself later.
Okay, so what
and
is
according
it?
To the Deceive, it's the case where there's no fixed location for it. So he didn't take it out of location. So what according to the Chazan Ish, Taka, that's a good question. According to Chazan Ish, Taka, you have a good question. Meaning, in Dalad Beis, once he was Shalech Boyad,
Is he punter from 20 times Ganav?
Yeah, but it's clear that he's punter from Kefil Dalva. Hey, that's what he says. Punter in a Kefil. If you're Shalech Boyad first, unless the Chazan Ish says no, the Chazan Ish would say that Rambam's not doing what we told Be'ach, just for your Shalech Yad Stam. You just picked it up and used it.
Do all these issues have to overcome the fact that you're really a ganav min hashoel?
No, ganav min hashoel is chayiv according to the Bavli. That's not a problem.
Oh, that's not a problem. Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking of that funny Rishalmi in the last parak of Shuas, but we don't hold that way. Although we'll have to mention it. Okay, now let's go on to the next line of the Gemara. Ready? Says Amar Rava. We're good, Jonathan, right? Hineach lem avihem parashu'ula. Mishtam shebo koi meshe'elta. If a guy dies and he leaves his kids a cow that he borrowed, then the Rambam explains, when you borrow, you really get a temporary kinyan that you have the right to it for this many days. If you borrowed it for 10 days, he really owns the right to use it for 10 days. So his kid inherit the right to use it for 10 days. Mesa in chayim ha'otza. But here they get the best of both worlds. They have the right to use it for 10 days, but if it dies, they're not chayim ha'otza. Why? Because they inherit the rights of the father. They don't inherit the obligations of the father. They never agreed to be shomrim. They never agreed to be shomel. They were never mischayim to be shomel. So therefore, they have the rights without the obligations. What if they thought it was their father's cow? So they innocently shecked it and ate it. Misham would make baser bezol. Then they only have to pay the price of meat on sale. Meaning their putter. Even if they shecked it, their putter. So if they're putter, why do they have to pay the price of the main baser bezol? Like, what?
It didn't belong to them.
Ah, but hold on. What are the different categories we can imagine? You might say they're a ganef. No, they're not a ganef. You might say they're a mazik. No, they're not chayv for mazik anyway. Why are they not chayv for mazik? Because it wasn't their fault, right? Okay, so why are they chayv for the baser bezol? This is a gemara that we mentioned once briefly. Sugya and Babakama. This is the sugya of Zenen of Zechoser. When I'm Nenef from your Chisaron, remember we discussed this sugya? I always have to pay a minimal amount, even if I did nothing wrong. That's a rule. When for example, let's say my dog eats your food in Rishos HaRabin. Shame Rishos HaRabin is totally, potter. Even though I'm potter, I didn't do anything wrong, and I have no chiyuvim, since I was nana, I have to pay the amount of my handah. But how do you measure handah? You don't pay the amount of the damage. How do you measure the amount of the handah that you have to pay? The handah is, what's the handah of getting meat? Not necessarily the retail price of meat, because who says that I needed to buy meat? I'm not nana the retail price when I get something, right? That's clearly, if you offer me a cookie, how much am I nana? Not the price in the supermarket of a cookie, because who said I would have bought a cookie? But I'm nana something. How do you measure that something? So the rule is, may bus resolve the cheapest sale price. What's the assumption that anyone who's hungry and eats something, even though they might not have spent the money on it and they're not nana the full price, they at least would pay, they're at least nana the sale price. That everyone would have, the cheapest sale price. It's an option that everyone would be worth buying meat at the cheapest sale price, and that's your hanah. Okay, so they're chayiv al zenen of zechoser. But they're not chayiv, meaning they're chayiv for their hanah. They're not chayiv for the damage they did. Why are they not chayiv for the damage they did? Here we come on to just a very famous machlokes Rishonim all over Shas, which is worth mentioning. Why are they not chayiv for the damage they did? After all, they're a mazik. And if you'll say they're pot, even though they're a mazik, they meant well, it's not their fault, they were trying their best. Meaning, clearly they didn't do anything immoral, they didn't do an aveira, right? Meaning, they don't have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, right? They didn't do anything wrong. They thought it was their father's, which is reasonable. Why is it reasonable to think it's their father's? If they asked the Shas, they asked Chazal, do you have a rule, we inherited a cow from our father, right? And they thought, right, are we allowed to eat it or not? What rule would we apply here? Chazaka, komasha tachas yada shel adam harizah shelo. It's a chazaka, whatever it's someone's possession is his, that's a chazaka. I know it's not always true. Sometimes I have something in my pocket that's not mine. But the chazaka is that the halacha tells us to assume that whatever's in my pocket is mine. Right? That's why the famous sugya of Nasvid Rabbi Abba, right? If you steal a wallet from my pocket and claim it's yours all along, that's worthless, that's not a tiny after you give it back. Because the assumption is what's in my pocket is mine. So they inherited a cow from their father's barn. They have every halacha right to assume it was theirs, they did nothing wrong whatsoever. So what's the kasha of the Tosfos Rush? Even though they did nothing wrong whatsoever, what's the rule of a mazik who didn't do anything wrong? Adam Udli Olam. We rule Adam Udli Olam Bain Beratzon Bain Ba'ones. Adam Mazik is Chai Ba'ones, I understand. Shor and Bar and Keren, Shane Varegel, I'm not Chai Ba'ones.
Right? That's clear. I mean, if my property damages, I'm not chayiv ba'onus. Right? If I lock up my cow properly, or my bull properly, and bandits come in the middle of the night unexpectedly and let it loose, and it damages something, I'm not chayiv. Right? If I cover my boar properly, and lightning strikes it in the middle of the night totally unexpectedly and burns it up, burns up the cover of the boar, and someone falls on my boar and trips and gets hurt, I'm not chayiv. But if I damage something myself with my own guf, that's the rule of Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. The Gemara says, what is the difference between Adam Mu'ad Li'olam? If I leave my knapsack on the roof, and it blows off at a ruach matsuya and breaks your property, I'm chayiv. So I was posheya. I shouldn't have left it where it could blow off and break someone's property. If it blows off a ruach she'ena matsuya, I'm potter. Right? Ruach she'ena matsuya is an ones, unexpected potter. But the Gemara says, if I fall off the roof in a ruach she'ena matsuya, then, and I land on you and break your leg, chas v'shalom, or I land on your vase and break your vase, then I'm chayiv. Adam would the olam, even in a ruach she'ena matsuya, even unexpected things, even ba'onis, says unfortunately, more even ba'onis, Adam would the olam. So ask the Tosas Rush, what about Adam would the olam? Forget about zenem of zechaser. They have to pay for their hanah. It's only fair they pay for their hanah, the Seder. But why shouldn't they pay for their hezek, Adam would the olam? They damaged the full value of the cow, right? You used to have a full cow and now it's gone. So why not Adam would the olam? So what does the Tosas Rush answer here?
That they're
onus. Onus gomer. This is the sheet of Tosos all over Shas. I put in brackets the main famous Tosos. This is a famous machlokes Tosos and the Ramban. What about Adam Mu'ad Li'olam Afilu Be'onus? So we have a famous machlokes Tosos and Ramban. Tosos says don't take that rule too literally. No, Adam's not really Mu'ad Li'olam. He's not really Mu'ad on an onus. What it means is Adam Mu'ad a lot more than some other things. Adam Mu'ad, more than cows are Mu'ad. More than knapsacks are Mu'ad. More than pits are Mu'ad. And onus means a small onus. And that's what Tosfos says, only in onus katan. But onus gadol is putter. That's the sheet of Tosfos all over. Shas onus gadol is putter. And he even says, where do you draw the line? I'll tell you where he gets it from. The main sugya he gets from is our sugya. What's his proof? He has two main proofs. One is our sugya. He says, why are they potter? Why aren't they a mazik? Adam u'li olam. The answer is, this is an onus gadol. Why is it an onus gadol? They had absolutely no way of knowing otherwise. They were just following the chazakas of the Torah. Onus gadol is potter. His other proof is from the case of, he has a few cases, the case of Niskal Poshea, and the case of, he has a few proofs. Let's mention, I guess, three of his proofs. Number one, he says Niskal. He says, the Gemara says if someone who trips is not considered to be Poshea, if tripping is not your fault, there's a machlokes. If tripping is your fault or not. If tripping is not your fault, and you trip or break someone's jug in the street, then you're a putter. Right? So niskal, according to that mando amar, right? Again, niskal, lamando amar, eno posheya. Niskal, vishiber, chavis, birshus harabim, is putter. So doesn't that prove a real onus is putter?
That's the case when
you start. Okay, so that's the... Okay, that's exactly proof, since you couldn't have known you're putter. And what's his third case? His third case is a uman shekilkel, right? Lamanda omar eino posheya is putter. Meaning, a worker who's posheya, let's say either I'm a worker who trips, I'm a porter who trips, or I'm a shochet who slips, right? It makes an avela. A worker who trips, the Gemara says, if he's posheya, he's chayiv. If he's not posheya, he's potter. Right? So what do we see? We see here that ba'onis your potter. Ah, ba'onis your chayiv. Must be small onis your chayiv, big onis your potter. And then he says, a ruach she'ena matsuya, an uncommon wind is a small onis. An uncommon wind is still a wind you should have thought about. Tripping, according to one Mandori, that's a big onus. Slipping is a big onus.
Not knowing whose cow it is a big onus. That's the sheet of Tosfos all over Shas. The sheet of the Ramban, and most of the Achronim think the Rambam agrees with him. Is that in, or no, the other
account.
The Ramban
holds, doesn't hold
Pachim? The Ramban holds Adam Muad Leola Mamish Vafilu Ones Hayoser Gadol. Even the biggest onus in the world, Adam is more the Leola Mamish according to the Ramban. And what's his proof? His proof is Rosh She'ena Metsuya. Now, depends what you mean by Rosh She'ena Metsuya. It says Rosh She'ena Metsuya, because I'll say it's not any uncommon wind. Even the Ruach of Eliyahu, remember, he took off to the Shemayim? So he says, even a Rosh She'ena Metsuya, I hear they seem to be this argument, what's Rosh She'ena Metsuya? Tosfos says, Rosh She'ena Metsuya is not common, but it's predictable. But, you know it happens once in a blue moon. So Ramban says, no, Rosh She'ena Metsuya is even Rosh She'ena Eliyahu. Anything that happens, Adam is always Muad. Always Muad the Olam. What does he do with all Tosfos' proof? What about this case? He says, this is different because it's the fault of the Niza. What is Adam Muad the Olam? Adam Muad the Olam means if it's no one's fault, you're still Chayav. If it's the other guy's fault, you're not chayav. That's ridiculous. It's your chayav, even if it's not your fault. That's machlokes Ramban and Tosfos. Tosfos said, you're only chayav if it's your fault. But we're a little more machmer in how careful you have to be. You even have to be careful for an onus katan. Van says, no, you're chayav even if it's not your fault. But if it's his fault, then you're not chayav. If he left his jugs in the street, it's his fault. So meaning, if I had tripped the onus, forget to trip the onus. If someone pushed me, all right, that's okay. I trip Ba'onis. Let's say I trip totally Ba'onis. And I fell into your store window and broke something, I'd be Chayev. Because even though it's not my fault, I'm Chayev. But if you leave your jugs in the street and I trip on them, then I'm Potter because it's your fault. The Nizak's fault potters me. I don't need it to be my fault to be Chayev, but your fault potters me. What about Uman Shekelkel? So he says, this is different. Because he was Osei Bershus, says the Ramban. When is Adam Mudli Olam? When you shouldn't be touching your friend's property. When you touch your friend's property without permission, even if it's not your fault, you're Mudli Olam. However, if I'm a worker, you asked me to touch your property. That's different. If you hired me to work with your property, that's Nichnas Bershus. Then we don't apply Adam Mudli Olam. If you told me to use your property, if I was supposed to be using your property, then if I'm poshe, I'm chayiv for pshia as a shomer, and if I'm not poshe, if I'm an onus, I'm potter. Nichnas Bershus is different. That's the famous machlokas Tosfos Ramban. The Ramban's not a gazillion percent clear. What about our case? He never comes back to our case. Oh. Right? What about our sugya? Why is our sugya potter according to Ramban? So what do you have to say? The victim should have told the orphans?
Yeah.
No, who says the victim was here, right? A guy dies. Who says the person who led to the part was here?
Has a lot of money. What doesn't make cows?
I don't know.
But the father's fault, then the orphans should be chayav.
No, if it was the pshia of the father. No, let's find the lino chasim. No, but Adam will be all of them, even if it's a third party's fault. If it's a third party's fault, Adam was more than Yolo. When you want to say is that the Ramban admits if it's the victim's fault, others are Mudi Olam. What if it's the third party's fault? That is kind of interesting. Like, it's the father's fault for not telling them. It's not their fault. So what if it's the third party's fault? Maybe you could say other don't Mudi Olam if it's no one's fault. But if it's the third party's fault, then the third party's chayiv. And here the father's chayiv, but he's dead, so no one, and he didn't leave the chasim, so he doesn't pay. That's what Zev wants to say. It's not a bad shot.
Isn't that like the Kilas Yaakov that you directed us to?
No, I think you're saying very different.
Why?
Okay, one second. Here you could say it's a third party's fault. That's an extension of the Ramban. The Ramban said if it's the victim's fault, then I'm not chayiv. Saying if it's anyone else's fault, I'm not chayiv. Other than the other means if it's no one's fault, I'm chayiv. If it's someone else's fault, then blame someone else, not me. I mean, if there's no one to blame me because I did it. I'm Mu'ud Li'olam. I should always have been more careful. Or even if I couldn't have been more careful, I'm responsible. Okay, that's an interesting shot. I think the Hillel Yaakov says differently based on Diuk and the Lashon of the Ramban here. If you're Medayik and the Lashon of the Ramban here, he does say
We have Ramban here. He doesn't say it to answer this question, but nonetheless, he does use the phrase, he does use the expression, excuse me, here it is, yeah. Aval hai de bershus ka nachis de chesvurim shalvim hi lo. Here there are yorid bershus. Nachis is yorid. This is what the Gilas Yaakov says. The Gilas Yaakov says is that our case is yorid bershus. They have permission. Now what does it mean yorid bershus? Here it's a little tricky. He has to add one little kinesh to the Ramban. This is what the Stipler says, based on the Lashon, Kanachs Bershus. Now, he's not trying to answer this question. He's discussing something else. But nonetheless, says the Stipler, this is the Kilos Yaakov. The Kilos Yaakov says, Bershus, doesn't mean, actually, I don't know if it's even so poshut that you have to say this. What he says doesn't mean reshus of the bailim, but it means reshus of the Torah. What he says is that basically, why is it called yorid reshus? Because chazaka kamash tach yadam reizah shalom. The Torah says you could go be osik with this cow. You have the right to touch this cow. Because the Torah says, Chazaka, Kamash, Tafs, Yodam, Shal, Shalom. You go to ask the Torah, you go to ask the Bez, and they say, Chazaka, it's your father's cow. You could have business with it. I think maybe theoretically you could also say it's Yod Rishos, even the Rishos of the Yibayim. Why? Because the Yibayim lent it to the father, then they gave Rishos for the kids to use it also. Obviously, they hoped that the kids would realize it was borrowed. But that's basically, that's the second, I think you go either way. Basically, you have to extend one of these two answers. Either say, that's an interesting condition of Zeb. I have to go through all the Rambans and see if that works. Zeb wants to say, Tzatzar Ian. I have to go through all the Rambans and Shas and see if Zeb's right. Maybe say it's the third party's fault, because it's clearly the father's fault, according to Rashi at least. Right? Rashi says it's the father's fault. Maybe he agrees with Rashi. Not only, I meant Tosos. Tosos says it's the father's fault, and I think he does agree with Tosos. It's the father's fault, so therefore, maybe it's the third party's fault. You don't say Adamu the Olam. It's an interesting case. I can't think of a Ramban to prove one way or the other. Or what the Stipler says is this is your Rishos. Why is it Rishos? After all, the other guy never gave you Rishos to, like, eat his cow. So he says, no, it doesn't matter. Your Rishos is the Rishos of the Torah. What's he saying? He's saying the Yisod of your Rishos. Here you can make a Hakira your Rishos. You could say your Rishos means in like Mechila. If he told you to use it, then it's like he was mokal the other the Olam. I think the Stipler understands, no, Yorid Rishos is not Midin Mechila. Yorid Rishos is Midin, Adamu the Ola means you have no right to touch your friend's property. But if you have the right to touch it, then you're not Mudli Olam as to whether you break it or not. Adamu the Ola is not just don't go near your friend's property. If you have the right to touch your friend's property and handle your friend's property, be osik to your friend's property, then Adamu the Ola doesn't apply anymore. It's like, Adamu the Ola is not about damaging. It's about touching your friend's property in the first place. You shouldn't be involved with other people's property without permission. Once you have permission to be involved with the property, then you're not mudli olam. You just have to be normally careful and avoid pshia. Okay, that's the chiddush, the Stipler. Other mudli olam means there's no excuse for touching your friend's property without permission. If you have permission to touch it, then you just have to be careful and not negligent and not break it. That's the chiddush in other mudli olam. That's the chiddush, right? Finishes. Adam Mu'ad Li'olam is about touching, not breaking. It's not that you should never break your friend's property. You should never touch it in the first place. But if you have permission to touch it, then you're not Mu'ad Li'olam. You just have to be reasonably careful not to break it. And that's good enough. And the Chiddush of the Stipler is, it's not Midin Mechila. No, it's Midin Be'etzem Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. Okay, so let's chazer for a second. Here we have an example of the world-famous machlokas, Tosos the Ramban of Adam Uliolam. Tosos brings the riot for a shita. Adam's only mu'ad li'olam for pshia, for onus katan. But onus gadol you're not responsible for. Baharaya, here's an onus gadol in their pater. The Ramban thinks you're responsible even for onus gadol, even if the ruach of Eliyahu blows you off the roof and you land on your friend's vase and break it. you're responsible, even if it was the onus, the biggest onus in the whole world, you're still responsible. Ah, so why are you putter here? Either make the chiddush of zeh, which I'm not sure if it's correct or not.
It says mechorish that the abba yaden pashe. It says an
arsuk. Ah, exactly. He just no. Correct. Meaning right. He does say the fact that zeh is missing. He doesn't use it to answer this question. He doesn't use it to answer this question. So you're right. Factually, he agrees he has the background.
It fit in his whole thing, then.
Yeah, it would fit. Maybe that's an when a third party is at fault. We don't say Adam Uliolam. Adam Uliolam is if no one's at fault. If no one's at fault, then whoever did it is at fault. If the victim's at fault, it's the victim's fault. And the Chiddush of Zeh is the third party's fault. It's the third party's fault, not the one who did it. Very reasonable. Or if the Stipler says differently, no, not basing it off this part, but basing it off this part of the Ramban in Bav Metzia, is that, when you're Yorid Bershus, if you are supposed to be handling it, then you're not moving Olam. You just have to avoid Pshia. Of course you can't break it with Pshia, right? But you just have to have normal, reasonable care. Once you're supposed to be handling something, you just have to be reasonably careful. You're not moving Olam. So the disciple says, here also you're supposed to be handling it. Why? Rishus HaTorah. Here's a whole mahalach. You can read the whole siman. Why you can't say it's Rishus Bayim here. You'll see it there if you want. And then it's just a little chiddush. The chiddush is that you could have read the Yorid Rishus two ways. You could have said Yorid Rishus is because, well, once he hires you to work with it, so he's obviously mochel the other mood the olam. In this case, he was not mochel eating his cow. Or, no. It's a fundamental limitation of Mu'ud Li'olam. When the Ramban says Adam Mu'ud Li'olam is unlimited liability, he means you have unlimited liability, you should never touch your friend's property. But if you're allowed to touch your friend's property, whether your friend let you or whether the Torah let you, then you only have reasonable liability for breaking it. Chayav for Pshia and Potter for Onus. Okay.
According to the Ramban, if a tsunami blows my car into your front window, I'm chayav.
No, that's a car. That's not Adam. That's that's my property. That's mazik. Everyone knows my property is mazik, but onus on Potter. The question is only if the tsunami blows me into your front window.
Oh.
Correct. Yeah. Meaning everyone agrees if my property damages Baruch Shein Matsuya, I'm Potter. If I leave my knapsack on the roof and a Baruch Shein Matsuya blows it into your window and breaks it, or blows it onto the floor and trips you, I'm Potter.
So if it blows me?
But if it blows me into your window, the Ramban would say I'm Chayiv. That's exactly what the Ramban says. Even a Rosh El Yahu, Adam is Mu'ud Li'olam. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. Even a tsunami.
What about the one didn't seem to make chilukim between different types of onus? Where the guy makes it tonight, I don't think 30 days. And
yeah, but that's not talking about mazik. That's talking about a condition. Yeah. That's about psychologically umdud of what you meant when you made the condition. That's different.
I mean, this is not what Tosfos is talking about. He's talking about objective onus?
Yes. Yeah, because he's not talking about a case where there was a contract. That's about if I make a contract with a condition, what do I mean to happen in time of onus? This was a predictable onus, an unpredictable onus. But over here, we're not talking about a condition. I broke your property. Okay. The next part of the Gemara says that... If the father, however, left real estate, which is meshubad, the father left property, which is meshubad, then chayav l'shalom, then they have to pay. Ikeda amri. Ikeda maslo reishu. Ikeda maslo seifa. Mani maslo reishu. Kol shekino seifa flegu dar papa. Mani maslo seifa. Vol reishu lo vahini dar papa. Okay. Gemara has two ikeda masnis. In what case achrayis nechasa make you chayav? So let's read... let's read the Ika Damasni Aresha Seifa. First we have Ika Damasni Aresha. Right? Ika Damasni Aresha. What does that say? Im Heiniach Avihem Achrayus Nechasim Chayav. What's the Resha? Even if it was Mesa, right? Chayav Afilu Mesa. Why? What's the Svara? Why should they be chayiv if it dropped dead? So the answer is that's Chiv Onsen, right? What's the Svara? Svara is that the Chiv Onsen lima freya mishas meshicha al ha'av. That's the Svara. The father left the chayes the chosim. Now that you have a shibud, the father is now chayev mafreya mishas neshicha on omtzim, right? And since he left the chayes the chosim, you can be gomer from the father, and this is against Rav Papa, because remember what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said the chayev omtzim is not mafreya mishas neshicha. He says no, the chayev omtzim mafreya. So when the father was alive and did neshicha on the parah, he's chayev for the onus that will happen after he dies. So he was chayev before he died. When the av is chayev before he died, then everyone knows the rule. If he doesn't leave real estate, then no one collects. If he leaves real estate and he was chayev before he died, then you collect from the shiva nechassim. Okay, what's the ika? Dimasni aseifa. It says no. Em hiniach achrayos nechassim. Mesa is potter. What? Why? Mesa is potter. What's the svara? Svara is ein chiyuv onsim limafreya mishas mashicha, right? If it dies, he's potter, right? There's no chiyuv onsim limafreya mishas mashicha. And this agrees with Rav Papa. But tvachua viachlua chayavim. Why? Everyone knows there's no chiyuv l'marfei mishas mashicha. So why are they chayiv if they ate it? What's the svara? Why? Okay, what's the svara that we understand for this? Who gives us a good svara we understand? Tosfos. Tosfos and Rov Rishonim. Right, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all agree. What's the Svara? Why am I, if the father left the Chayes the Chosim and they shefted and ate it, why are they Chayev? Don't say it's the Chiv Onsen. Because the Chiv Onsen is not Lamafreya. So why are they Chayev? Pshia the father. When was the father Poshea? So says Tosfos and Rishonim, Ha'av Nischayev Al Yedei Pshiaso. When was the time of his Pshia? Exactly, me Shah Shelo Higidlahem Dushaulahi Lifne Moso. When he was on his deathbed, he had the responsibility to tell them that it was a borrowed cow, so they wouldn't eat it. He neglected his responsibility, therefore he's Poshea. So therefore he's Chayav L'Mafreya from the time he was Poshea, when he was still alive, and since it's a Chayes Nechassim, you can collect the father's tiyah from the Shiva as Nechassim.
Why can't you say that he was Poshe also on the path? Maybe the Balabai wouldn't want the Yorshin to use it. So maybe he was Poshe that he didn't tell them it was Sheol Bechlal, not the Gabay.
No, because it doesn't matter if all Balabai wants them to use it or not. They have the right to use it. That's the right
sense. The Sheol, the Machil can't say, I trusted your father, I don't trust
you. Okay, so the assumption, that's a great question, you might have to say, kol mafkid al das ishto vanav hu mafkid, that unless you say otherwise, then you're mafkid, you're mafkid al das ishto vanav. So, and here it's an aliyam, so it's the vanav. Okay, so that's what Tosas says. What's the assumption? Tosas here makes two assumptions. One assumption, which the Ramban speaks out a little, is, what are those two assumptions? Is that a posheya is chayav at the time of pshia, not at the time of hezek. Right? Meaning, if I have chayiv pshia, what do we know? Onsim, when do you chayiv onsim only from the time that onus happens? When do you chayiv pshia? So you could see either way. You could have said, I'm only chayiv pshia when the damage happens. When the damage happens, I'm chayiv. Then this wouldn't help, because the father's dead when the damage happens. Or you could say, no. In pshia, I'm chayiv from the moment I'm negligent. Obviously, only on the condition that it leads to damage. But if it leads to damage, I'm chayiv l'afreya from the moment I'm negligent. Tosos and Rav Rishon obviously hold that when you have a chiyah for pshia, you're chayav limafreya from the time of your negligence, not from the time the damage happens. But that's reasonable. Negligence is an evil thing you did. Perhaps not evil, but is a bad thing you did. So if it doesn't lead to anything, then you got lucky. But if it does lead to damage, then you're chayav for doing the bad thing, for doing the negligence. What's the second assumption? And this is what, I don't know, did I put this Kovet Shirim in brackets? Yes. Oh, not in brackets even. This is what the Kovet Shirim says. Great. Is that a shoel is chayav for pshia. That's the second assumption. What do we mean? Isn't a shoel, obvious shoel is chayav for pshia?
So no. Too fast,
okay.
Not so easy
here
to
it say. Is. A shomer chinam is obviously chayav for pshia, right? A shoel is chayav onsim, right? He takes full responsibility. Does a shoel need to be also chayav for pshia? No, it could just be built into his chayav onsim. So here's an interesting question: if a shoel, forget about the father, a regular shoel, I borrow a cow and it drops dead. I borrow a computer and it gets struck by lightning. I'm chayav. Why? Because I have general responsibility. Exactly why we'll come back to next time. What if I'm negligent about it? Am I chayav because I was negligent, or am I chayav because of my general responsibility? You might say, a shoel is not chayav for pshia. He's chayav for everything. He doesn't have a separate chayav for pshia. Meaning, what's the chakira? Here we have a chakira. What's the chakira? A chakira is like this. Ready?
What happens if
no one is gadol?
He's in trouble.
No, a shoel is chayav
for his gadol. But he's in trouble.
No. I mean, that's a mazik, this is a shoel. Two different things. Remember, the kids don't have to give a shoel here.
But the pshia is mitam mazik, right?
Ah, pshia is mitam mazik. Okay, that's the sheet of the Rambam. We don't have to get into that now. Not anymore. Okay, ready? It's like this. A shoel, there's two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that he has a general responsibility. That's he of onsim. And he has to be shomer the object. So he's chayav for pshia. This is Tosfos and most Rishonim in our sugya, as Rosh Hashanah points out. What is the assumption of Tosfos Rishonim besides being generally responsible in Omsen? Because when is this Chalos? This is Chal Mishas Hezek. This is Chal Mishas Pshia. Besides being Chayav when damage happens for any damage, I'm also Chayav for my negligence. Why should I have two chiyuvim for everything and for negligence? I know it works out well here. That's where you get the chiyuv to be chal before the father dies. But what's the logic behind it? The logic is obvious. Number one, I take responsibility. Number two, I agree to watch it. Doesn't everyone who borrows something implicitly agree to watch it? So it really comes from two places. Here, I agreed to be responsible, and I agreed to watch it. Right? Every shoel agrees to two things. He agrees to be responsible for the object. He also agrees to watch it.
Because, like, what's really the difference?
Ah! Being responsible for the object means for the result. If it gets damaged, I'll pay you back. There's nothing I can do about it.
Watching implies watching information as it happens to you, right? So that's the
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
but I guess the Shomachinim is not chayav for something happens to it, it's own. Depends on what? Different.
Yeah. Right, okay. So this is all, by the way, this is not my Hezbollah, this is the Kovet Shirim. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say that. What? He's trying to say that it's lunchtime.
Well, ooh, it's,
okay, we
didn't
get very far, did we?
He's trying to explain this in 30 seconds.
He was on
that. Oh, he pays me. Oh, for sure. Push it. Okay. Oh, all right. We have a lot to do. Okay, luckily next year is on a Thursday.
So we have plenty of time to explain, so I hope to explain in 30 seconds.
Okay. Kitzer, I see we didn't finish what we're up to now. So we'll have to have time to do namak in the brackets and go on. I'll give the next Makor Shi tonight. Anyway, go on, and we'll try to see what we can squeeze in and explain this Hakira of Rav Elchanan in a very clear way that we will all understand, but we'll pick up on that on Thursday. One very, very important announcement is that on Thursday there will be regular... But next Monday is Bein Hazman and Hanukkah, and there will be no shir. So next